need. Kind of up on his own shelf. Somewhere there's a blue sky where people have nobody. He doesn't have to worry just what went wrong. In a broken hearted town, always on the inside, always looking out for his heart.
Hello and welcome to Red Phone Zone. This is issue number 59, because that one episode that we did does not exist. Yes. I am your host, Aaron.
I am your host, Ethan.
And what the hell are we doing tonight, Ethan?
We're still on our departure from our normal thing of talking movie genres for the last several episodes.
Yeah, I guess we thought it was going too well.
Yes. So we decided that we did some really good episodes and we needed to go back to the well.
Yeah.
And let our listeners know that we still have this in us.
We do. We do still suck. But speaking of sucking, what are we doing tonight?
We're talking Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's an episode we promised our listeners many, many moons ago. And now we're
How
doing
many
it.
Moons ago?
Many.
Okay, so
one
who,
or two.
Who's joining us?
I'm Rachel.
I'm Beth.
That's it.
That's Rachel and Beth. Huh?
Rachel and Beth. They're two women we just found outside.
Yeah.
Said, hey, you guys watch Buffy? They went, yeah.
Duh.
And it's like, you want to do this podcast with us? They said, yeah, we charge $200 an hour.
Yeah, we're
like, okay.
Yeah, we found them hanging out by Hot Topic in a mall.
But
wearing
then,
all
but
black.
Then you proposed to me, so that
yes.
was weird.
Yeah. Then I like to move quickly.
No,
figure,
you accepted.
I figure for
$200,
you know, I need to get my money's worth,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you might not.
I might not, no. You're not giving the ring back then?
No.
It's the $200 for
yeah.
the ring.
Yeah, and the $200, the ring, and the $200.
Oh, you're stupid. Man. I didn't pay her anything.
Yeah, but you moved in with her.
Like I said, I didn't pay her anything. She didn't gain anything. But yeah, we have our girlfriends.
I'm a pimp, that's why.
Well,
fiancés,
really.
Oh, I guess fiancés. Rachel and Beth on the show with us tonight. Because
I had to think about that a second, eh?
Yeah.
We're not that important, obviously.
Oh, my other, she just meshes so well with my other fiancés. Right?
I will murder
she
you
does.
In the face.
Oh, God. We're not going to have any form of structure tonight, are we?
Fuck no.
Okay.
Did you say Rachel and Beth are getting married?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
yeah,
hot.
It's going to be hot.
We're going to New York City.
The entire ceremony takes place on a webcam in Jell-O.
What is it with you and Jell-O?
I don't know.
It has to be Jell-O, apparently, that's clear Jell-O and
well,
not the opaque
no,
Jell-O.
No, because the pudding will mask everything.
He doesn't like. Mm. Yeah, he wants to
but
see
it's
the goodies.
Dirty looking. So,
yeah. True.
You get to hose them off afterwards.
Yes, but the Jell-O is lime goodness.
And you can eat it.
Speaking
and
of lime goodness, okay. This is a weekly podcast where we have several rotating topics. First of which, every week, is a segment we like to call Geekly Happenings. It's when we talk about news that's relevant to us geeks. Ethan, what's happened since 2 o'clock today?
What's happened since before 2 o'clock today?
Yeah.
Frank Darabont has left The Walking Dead.
That sucks.
So Frank Darabont is no longer a zombie. Deadline's reporting that he will be stepping down as a series showrunner. Darabont made the transition from films like The Shawshank Redemption and The Mist to the small screen with ongoing adaptation of the Robert Kirkman zombie comic. It's said to be potentially be staying aboard the series in some capacity, though an unofficial announcement has yet to be made.
They at least kill him off.
Well, no, he was a
showrunner.
He was the guy who came up, yeah. Made it a TV show.
He was behind the show. So
yes.
Oh, okay.
He wasn't yeah, on the show. He was just the guy in charge.
I hope they
of
didn't
so why is
kill
he leaving?
Him off.
Why is he leaving?
Yeah.
It sounds like a bunch of political nonsense. Basically, what I read was he was having a hard time transitioning from motion pictures to the breakneck speed of television,
mm-hmm.
which basically means that he pissed somebody off.
Right.
Is what that typically means. It's going to be some kind of political something sure. or other. And actually, I saw who the who is going to replace him, and it's Glenn Mazzara, The Walking Dead's new showrunner. He was he has worked on The Shield, Life, Criminal Minds, Suspect Behavior, Hawthorne, a whole mm-hmm. bunch of other stuff, and he also worked
yeah.
on The Walking Dead as well as in a producer capacity.
Okay.
But now he's
so
gonna
it's
be
the guy who is still familiar with the show. That's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. I hope it doesn't mean bad stuff. I'm actually kind of curious now to see season two to see if maybe like some of this wanting to leave the show shows up on the screen somehow. But
sure.
I doubt it because the first season was really solid, really good show.
Sure.
Well, really good.
Next thing I got is the sequel to G.I. Joe, tentatively titled G.I. Joe Retaliation, has a release date set for June 29th, 2012. Of course, directed by John Chu, who brought us the Justin Bieber movie Never Say Never.
Naturally. Yeah, it's my favorite. I love that girl.
The current cast is almost a whole new cast. It's got Channing Tatum as Duke, Ray Park as Snake Eyes, and Byung-Hun Lee as Storm Shadow returning. But they've got Dwayne
so
Johnson.
Tatum's coming back? Channing Tatum's coming back.
Okay, according to this, yes. I had missed that announcement.
I didn't know that.
Looks like newcomers are going to be Dwayne Johnson as Roadblock, Elodie Young as Jinx, DJ Catrona as Flint, Adrian Palicki, who was
Adrian Padalecki.
Padalecki, or Palicki, who was, of course, Wonder Woman briefly.
Yeah.
As Lady J, RZA
All right.
as.
You think she's going to have the badass spears?
I don't know.
I hope so.
RZA is the Blind Master, Ray Stevenson is Firefly, and Joseph Mazzello is Mouse are the current people who have been
announced
for it.
Joseph Mazzello.
That sounds familiar.
Wasn't that the kid from Jurassic Park?
I don't know.
I think so, maybe.
I think it was. And Simon Birch.
Let's see. And the sequel to Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, is finally moving forward, according to Robert Rodriguez. Frank has written a script for Sin City 2. Yep. He announced at Comic-Con, at San Diego Comic-Con. It could likely shoot as early as later this year. So I know last I heard they were waiting. They wanted Angelina Jolie to be in it, but I don't know if that's still on.
Oh, thanks.
The new Judge Dredd movie, Dredd, is going to hit September 21st, 2012. It's filming now.
So they're releasing it for Oscar contention or something?
Nah, I don't know. It's being released by Lionsgate.
Yeah.
The Machete sequels have been announced. Rodriguez said both Machete sequels have been greenlit, though he added that the first one is currently the only one guaranteed to have a full-length film involved. The third will exist for the time being only in trailer form. The movie is to be titled Machete Kills. And the trailer sequel will include fake footage for the third film titled Machete Kills Again in Space.
Awesome.
Rodriguez promises that will include space babes and a lightsaber style weapon.
Neat. You know what? I wasn't that big of a fan of Machete.
It was what it was. I felt if that had been his contribution to Grindhouse. Instead of Planet Terror.
Planet Terror was fine. I love Planet Terror.
But it sort of felt redundant that he did it.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, it's what I said when I saw it. I thought that Machete looked too good. I mean, it should have looked shitty like Planet Terror, but it was actually well shot, well lit, really nice cinematography, and it just didn't fit. But story-wise, it was fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, I hope that Machete Kills Again in Space is the awesomest thing ever.
Hugh Jackman has confirmed that the villain in The Wolverine is going to be the Silver Samurai.
Silver Samurai is a bad guy?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that. I thought he was kind of like a pain in the ass good guy.
No, you're thinking that was Sunspot.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or Sunfire. Sun something. I don't remember. But no, Silver Samurai is always a bad guy. He's leader of the Yoshida or some Japanese name clan.
Japanese name clan.
I don't remember.
Is James Mangold directing it? Has that been confirmed?
I haven't seen any confirmation of it. Last I heard, he was at the top of their list, but nothing has been confirmed. And I think when reading this article that Hugh Jackman said that they're still waiting on finalization with the director.
And he should just direct it.
Yeah, probably. Man of Steel was moved to summer from December to from December 2012 to summer 2013.
That's a smart move.
Yeah, well, as it was 2 weeks out from shooting and they were still working on the script.
Yeah.
Yeah, they needed to move that. This is fun, though. Marvel has inked a deal with Lego.
Yeah.
As of January 1st, 2012, Lego will have the right to create toys based on the characters, vehicles, and action of Marvel's renowned universe for its Lego Superheroes line. Obviously, they plan on having stuff out for the Avengers next year. So.
Mm-hmm.
And the sort of last bit of brief news I got is yet another addition to Dark Knight Rises. Christopher Judge from Stargate SG-1 has joined the cast, but we don't know as what.
Ubu.
I
think it's going to be Ubu.
Yeah?
That's who I think it's going to be. He looks like fucking Ubu.
Uh-huh.
I know, but who did you bet it was going to be?
Well, I was figuring it'd just be some small part.
But it could be there, I think it'd be Ubu. Know? I mean...
Yeah, I could see that. That'd
be
fun.
Perfect.
He is. He's gigantic. And the only trailer that came out this last week was Battleship.
Absurdly awesome.
Yes. I mean, well, Liam fucking Neeson's in it.
Liam fucking Neeson is in it.
We like Liam fucking Neeson.
We do like Liam fucking Neeson.
And I don't remember aliens being in the board game.
But wouldn't anything be better with aliens?
That not necessarily did you see Skyline.
I did not. I read
that wasn't good with aliens.
I read Bagden Boardcast review of it.
Yeah, and then there was also, what was the other Knowing was worse with Space Aliens.
Yeah. Well, and you said that Cowboys and Alien needed more awesome.
Yes, Cowboys and Aliens needed more awesome.
And you said it wasn't very good, so by this time next week, it's going to be the worst movie ever made.
Probably,
because movies degrade in your head.
Yes, they do.
It's weird.
That is true. I do revise downward on films.
You do. You never go up. You always go down.
It's true. That's true.
Giggity. That's what Beth says.
Whoa.
Actually, I didn't say that this time.
Oh. I do have a little aside to add, though. Uh-huh. We got into an argument on the show, the horror show, about David Suchet.
Uh-huh.
And his CBE that he got, right. And whether or not he is not Sir David Suchet.
He's not.
David Suchet CBE, Commander of a British Empire. It's basically it's something they give him for being awesome.
Sure.
If somebody were to become a knight to, you know, be, you know, Sir Ian McKellen, Sir Christopher Lee, something like that, then they would be given a knight's bachelor. So technically Christopher Lee's title is Sir Christopher fucking Lee, CBE, OBE, St. John.
Okay.
Because of all of his other titles.
All right.
Yeah, he's not Sir David Suchet, and do not take that meaning I'm speaking down, because a CBE is a gigantic thing.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
All right, well, cool. Well, to me, he's Sir David Suchet.
He'll always be Sir David Suchet. But yeah, I just wanted to clear that up because, A, I thought it was right, and B, it got a little confusing. But yeah, he's David Suchet, CBE.
Alrighty.
There you go. So is that our Geekly Happenings?
That's all I got for you.
Yeah, considering we're like a week out of Comic-Con, there wasn't a whole hell of a lot of news.
Nothing huge sort of broke at Comic-Con.
Holy shit, though. The Lizard is the bad guy in Spider-Man.
Holy crap, really?
Yeah.
We found that out like 3 months ago.
Longer ago than that, wasn't it?
I'm just throwing 3 months out there.
It's even funnier because we got the official trailer like a week before that,
yes.
And you saw Reese Ifans run around in a lab coat without an arm.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you kind of figured it that
way.
Speaking of Reese Ifans,
I guess this is the big quote unquote.
That's
news
my
from
favorite
Comic-Con.
News out of Comic-Con. Why don't you tell it? Because I think it's funny, and I just want to laugh instead of talk about it.
All I know is Reese Ifans got arrested at Comic-Con
for what? Do you know that much?
I do not know for what.
For manhandling a female security guard.
Wow!
Because
that's going to be great publicity for Amazing Spider-Man.
Well, it gets better, believe it or not. I guess him and his entourage, and who the fuck knew Reese Ifans had an entourage, went outside to smoke, probably crack or do something. But
who knows, but
they left the convention.
Sure.
And they came back, and one of the people didn't have the credentials. And they're like, you can't come in, you don't have the correct credentials, and blah, 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 blah. And I guess he got all pissed off about it and, like, just, like, fucking pushed his bitch over and went inside and, you know, things like that. And the funny thing about it is he got arrested, and they, in some part of the nationalization paperwork, he said, fuck America, I'm never coming back here. So... I mean, there's all this stuff that happened.
Again, great publicity for Amazing Spider-Man.
Hey, remember all the horrible publicity around The Dark Knight?
Yes, I do.
Still a great movie.
I remember that. Yeah, it got some shit.
It had Christian Bale beating up his mom and his sister.
Uh-huh.
The Joker dying of a drug overdose, found naked.
Fallout for him having his blow up on set for Terminator.
The whole thing with Morgan Freeman leaving his wife for his step granddaughter.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a perfect storm of horrible news.
Wow.
So who knows? But I don't know. I think it's funny, and I was also reading a little about it that I guess like the security guards at these things are kind of typically pricks on power trips,
right?
Because they get a push around, like Steven Spielberg shows up and, you know, Reese Ifans, who is nowhere near Steven Spielberg,
but
you know, like these cool people show up and they get to push them around and stuff because blah, blah, blah. And I don't know. I thought it was funny. It was my favorite Comic-Con news.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the end of our Geekly Happenings.
Yep.
So I guess stay tuned. We're going to be right back and we're going to let the girls talk and we're going to talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Sometimes nothing will do, but you can't have one or the other. Maybe that's true. You can't have one of me or the other, and if only
And we are back. This time around, like Ethan said, we are taking a little bit departure from the typical movie discussion. And this time we're going to be talking about one of Rachel's favorite television shows, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, who is what's actually designed by Ruth Oswinter himself, Joss fucking Whedon.
That's true.
Now, me, myself, I've seen some of Buffy, you know, since it came out. It came out like when I was in high school or something like that. But I hadn't really watched it all until, just a few months ago. And I like it, and I realize, and we'll get into it more as we, you know, actually talk about our lists, but I like it, but I don't think, I probably like it the least out of everybody at this table. Don't take that to mean that I dislike it, but it's a good show, and I like it, but I don't know. Rachel, why do you like Buffy the Vampire Slayer so much?
I don't know if I could actually explain that.
Well, what do you like about it, then?
I think the biggest thing about Buffy is that it was something that I watched with my sister and my mom, you know, growing up, because I'm, you know, relatively young. I don't know, it was just fun, and it was corny, and it was kick-ass girl stuff, and had great cast, and
scene transitions.
They were fun, and I don't know, it was just entertaining, mostly. And you know, I always like the supernatural stuff, so it's right up my alley.
Cool. Now, how long have you been watching it, Beth?
I've been watching it since, and don't take this wrong, but middle school. So, yeah.
Are you She's fucking drunk?
No.
Oh, since middle. Okay, I got you. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, middle school.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
You are young, that's right.
Yeah.
See, that, younger than me, actually.
I used to watch it with my mom.
See, it was like, I know it was on like.
Family bonding.
It started in 97, right?
Yes.
I was a senior in 97.
I graduated high school in 2004, so.
That's right, you are that.
Young,
2 years younger than me.
I'm robbing the cradle, oh yeah.
I'm almost positive it came out. But have you guys, 1997, have you guys seen the movie?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I saw the movie long before I saw the
movie. The movie was terrible, but I loved the cheesiness of it.
Oh yeah, the movie was way cheesy. Way cheesy.
Yeah,
and they obviously went a different direction with the series.
It was
cheesy. It's not like the movie was, though.
Yeah. I like the fact that the vampires go poof.
Yes,
unlike the movie.
Yes,
that was just stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
What do they do in the movie? I forget.
They just die. Their bodies just left there. Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
And they take forever to die too. Apparently.
Yeah.
Yes.
I do know that Joss Whedon was quite unhappy with the movie, mostly because of working. That sounds so loud. Mostly because of working with Donald Sutherland. I guess he was a pain in the ass on the set.
Oh, yeah.
So much so that, like, when they did the show, they recast him, and I don't remember the name of that guy that plays him, but he's like one of those character actors in everything. And when they went back and they did a graphic novel of that story, you know, but with, you know, Joss Whedon stuff, they used that actor instead of Donald Pleasance. And what was that called? The redo of
Donald Pleasance.
Or I'm sorry, Donald Sutherland.
Yeah.
But
Donald Pleasance, I think, was dead by that point. But
yeah, probably. But yeah, but Joss Whedon was not very thrilled with that, so they went back and they made a graphic novel of it that improves upon it. But basically, most of the Buffy mythology canon whatnot comes from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the television show.
Yeah.
And it's a good show, and you just watched it recently as well.
Yes,
like it?
I'm a recent convert to it, and because I avoided it for the longest time. I saw it a few times, an episode here or there when I was in high school, and it never really grabbed me much.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, enough people, Rachel included and Beth, you know, said, hey, you should watch it. You'd probably like it because, you know, I like Firefly and things like that. So I was like, all right, cool.
And it's Joss fucking Whedon.
And it is Joss fucking Whedon. So I watched it, and you know, the first season is very hard to get through because it's not very good. But that, you could say that pretty much about almost every TV show. Most of the TV shows I'm a big fan of.
Not Sherlock.
Sherlock.
That's a great fucking first season show.
Most American series.
Yeah, that's true.
But this one really, in the second season, sort of found its legs and really found the right tone and the right balance between cheese and drama. And I really just kind of liked it mainly because Joss Whedon has a habit of making interesting and good characters.
Yeah.
And that's what he did with the show. So,
and that's absolutely it. I mean, you know, in the case of like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the series, I mean, you could get away with calling it the Scooby Gang series and it would be
just relevant. They embraced that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they're the Scoobies by the fourth season. They call each other the Scoobies.
Yeah.
And, I really enjoyed watching it most recently just because it's fun, it's hip, it's, you know, you had a strong, it's hip, haha, you had a strong female character.
Who?
Strong female, central female character in Buffy.
Okay.
Then you had her entourage of people that I thought were interesting characters in and of themselves, and you found yourself not watching it to see her go kill vampires, but to see what the characters go through.
Right.
It's a good show.
Yeah. It is a good show, and it's like I said, I didn't avoid watching it, and I just wasn't, you know, like, chomping at the bit to see it.
Yeah,
it
took, what, three times to actually start and finish?
And I ended up liking it about as much as I figured I was going to, which is, I like it plenty, I like it real well, but I, you know, it's not that great, but we'll get into that. But actually, why don't we get into that why don't we just get into our list? Ethan, what would you say is your number six favorite Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode?
My number six is actually one of the episodes that I managed to see when I was in high school, and it's Halloween, episode six from season two. It's the one where they get dress up in the costumes, and it's the where they reveal Ethan, the bad guy.
I totally missed that one on my list.
That is a good one.
I was talking to Chris from Bag and Boardcast earlier, and he said to bring that up. That's his favorite show.
Yeah,
it's not on my list, but it's a good one.
And it's a fun one because, you know, everyone's got their different they got to play different types of characters, and Buffy, instead of being the big badass that she is suddenly a Southern belle and wandering around and you know, needing men to help her and stuff like that. And it was kind of a fun departure.
Isn't that also the first one with Oz? The very first,
That is the first one when he meets Willow. Who's the Eskimo?
Yes.
Yeah. No.
And I remember seeing
Ghost in the hooker outfit walking in front of the van.
And sort of,
when he first saw Willow, she was an Eskimo. I'm positive about that because he was on stage playing.
He was on stage playing.
And he says, hey, who's that? And I think he says, oh, that's Buffy. So he's like, no, the Eskimo. And that was,
and then
that
later
one.
On, she walks by dressed all hot, and he just goes, "Who is that girl?"
Yeah.
I think that episode for me sort of captured a lot of what I like about how Joss Whedon does his cheesiness or his sort of wit.
Yeah,
when Spike sort of walks out into the street and there's all these things running around causing mayhem, and he just goes, "Neat."
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty funny.
That's pretty much Spike in a nutshell for you.
Yeah.
Just pure fucking chaos. So.
But yeah.
And that's where Xander learns his military stuff.
Which is there all the way
through the show.
They keep referencing
his military days.
Two-hour timer.
I kept these contacts back when I was G.I. Joe. When did you have time to get those contacts? You were like G.I. Joe for like two hours. Did you like go, hang on, I need to make some phone calls? Yes.
I think that was his plan, actually.
And that was actually one that I left off my list feeling safe it was going to fall on another list. I'm actually glad you nailed it, because I didn't think that Rachel would overlook that one.
No, it's definitely one of my favorite episodes.
It's a real good one.
There's so many episodes.
I know.
Hard to choose.
Oh, yeah.
I had no problem making this list, actually.
Yeah, but
Zero.
You're not a diehard Buffy fan.
No, I'm not.
That's true.
Who wants to go next?
I don't know. How do we do this? We're not sitting in a good order. I know. Well, then I guess I'll go next. My number six is Doppelganglin from season three, episode six.
It's 16. My number nine.
Sorry.
I left that off.
Nine.
That is the one where alternate universe Willow vampire comes and. Yes. Yeah, she like.
It's when the
Willow makes the remark where she's like, "And I think I'm a lesbian."
Yeah,
and like she dresses up in all the vampire clothes and goes to the bronze and tries to be a cool vampire, and she totally sucks at it. And she's all doing a little wave toward Oz, and yeah, I just love that episode. It's very Allison Hannigan Willow. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah,
so.
And I think the best part in that one is when she's Eva Willow gets detained or something, and real Willow has to go in and act evil. It's just hysterical.
Yeah. And that actually shows, you know, Allison Hannigan, she's a good actress and all that, but she was a really good actress in that one because she completely held herself. She's acted like a different character, pretending to be like another character. Well, it was real good. Yeah.
It's a hard thing as an actor to come in and say, okay, you're playing the same character, but, you know,
but you're actually from another dimension and
you're
evil.
Another dimension now,
and you're
evil,
gay.
But
you have to have those same mannerisms as the actor as to be that character still. But, you know, instead of being all shy and timid, you know, you're breaking people's necks and doing all that. So
cool.
And at the very end of it, when she goes back to her own alternate reality and then she dies and she says, oh, fuck. And like the mouthed words. I love that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely in that second season when
when it started coming into its own.
It really started to get its legs. Yeah.
So, yep, that's my number six.
It's a good one. Beth, what's your number six?
My number six is Never Leave Me.
Never Leave Me?
Never Leave Me, yeah. Hold on.
I don't know which one that is.
It's the one where, what's his name? Andrew? It's in season, I think it's six or seven.
Andrew
has been working on trying to kill people.
Yeah.
And they end up taking him captive and putting him in the basement.
Yes.
And you know, that almost made mine.
And that just always cracked me up that they decided to just stick them in the basement.
Well, he was so harmless that it was like,
yeah,
whatever, dude, just go over here.
I mean, with all the other stuff that they were dealing with, really.
And he was trying to convince them that, no, I'm evil.
And they're like,
whatever, dude.
You're so cute.
You just go over there.
Yeah.
And how they do the good cop, bad cop with Anya and Xander.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love that part. It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good one.
Cool. Well, that's a good one.
So, Aaron, what's your number six?
Well,
Mr. Showman.
My number six is one that will more than likely show up on other lists, but I still like it. I don't care. I didn't write down seasons and shit. I just wrote down titles and directors. It's Tabula Rasa by David Grossman.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good show.
My number nine.
Is it? That's a really good show. It's the one where they forgot everything.
Willow did a memory spell for Tara and ended up blowing up in her face, and everybody forgot who they were. They woke up and
didn't it get everyone except Tara or something like that?
It got everybody in the shot because Willow had the crystal in her pocket. And so, like, Xander and Willow wake up next to each other and they're like, think they're together, and Anya and Giles.
Spike thinks he's Giles' son.
Yeah.
That was funny.
I love that episode.
Rachel gives
British.
Yes. Rachel gives me a lot of shit because she says they don't like Spike. That's not what I said at all. What I said was I think that there's a bunch of very distinct Spike.
Yeah.
Versions of him.
Versions, and I only like one of them, and he's barely on the show. There was flat-out Big Bad Spike, which I didn't like.
There's Weeping Spike.
There was Weeping Spike, which I fucking hated. There was Spike. There was Spike with a soul, which... Whatever, he's fine.
He's crazy.
I liked the Renegade Spike. Mm-hmm. I liked the Spike when he was driving down the road with the car that was spray painted, singing, "I'll Do It My Way" by the fucking Ramones.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
That is my favorite Spike. Yeah. And this is one of my favorite Spike shows because I really wanted him to walk outside and Randy Giles. Yeah.
Name you Randy. Yeah.
Yeah, because it was on the inside of his coat. It's one of the fun shows. There's a lot of really good serious Buffy shows, and there's also the shows I call stupid Buffy shows.
Mm-hmm.
This is a stupid Buffy show, but it's a good stupid Buffy show.
Right.
It's not bad. It's just stupid.
No, yeah.
I mean, because it's just not the same seriousness.
Sure.
I think it's a lot of fun. It's my number six. What's your number five, Ethan?
My number five is season 2, episode 14, Innocence.
I don't know which one that is.
It is the one where Angel becomes evil for the first time.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking hate Angel.
Yeah.
Well, I do hate Angel.
That's fine. And that's the obvious reason I like this episode is we got to see David Boreanaz sort of come out of this. I'm the good vampire to being, well, I'm evil as hell. I'm evil as fuck, and I'm going to like eat babies and shit.
I have to say that I think I like Angel much better bad because he's not pussy whipped.
I'll agree with that.
Good Lord, was he pussy
whipped.
But
the thing that,
so totally.
For me in this episode, put me over the top. This is, of course, the episode where they're bringing back an ancient evil to destroy everything, okay? And no weapon forged by man can hurt him. And Buffy ends up blowing him up with a bazooka.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, Xander has his contacts with...
With the military, yeah.
Oh, Xander.
But
almost made my list,
The thing that put it over for me was that end where she's aiming the thing at him, and the big, nasty demon guy who's been melting people and all this goes, what's that do?
Yeah.
And boom.
Yeah.
Like, huh, well, all right. I like this plan. It's entirely the gamer in me going... Okay, let's try blowing it up with a frickin' missile launcher. Let's see if that works.
No one planned for that to happen.
Ha ha! Motherfucker, you're dead now!
That's a good one.
Yes, so, Evil Angel, nice to see him show up, but I gotta say, Definitely, the bazooka pushed it over for me.
Nice. Yeah, no, that's, yeah, that's a good one. I mean, and they're right. There's a lot of really good ones on here, but like several of these that you guys have mentioned so far never even entered my mind, and, mm-hmm. which is fine because we all have different opinions and stuff. So I guess that brings us down to Rachel's number five.
My number five is Conversations with Dead People from Season 7, Episode 7.
That almost made my list. That was a good one.
It's my number nine.
Which one?
Conversations with Dead People.
Oh, yeah.
That one is one where I actually know who is in it, what's going on, and, mm-hmm. like, the name of the show and everything. I was even watching a movie in a class one time, and I was like, that guy played on Buffy, Conversations with Dead People.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's one of my favorite ones. I just love the whole scene where she's talking to this vampire, and he's, like, doing the whole therapy thing with her, and then they fight, and then they talk, and then they fight, and then you've got Willow talking to... that whatever her name was, I can't remember, the one dead chick, and she's supposed to be Tara.
And that actress
talking
was,
through Tara.
That actress was the actress that played the first Slayer.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh, neat.
I was actually reading about this one earlier because it's my number nine.
And then you've got Dawn, you know, with this whole, like, massive mm-hmm. fight going on in her house trying to get a hold of her mother, and it's really her mother, and everybody thinks that she's crazy at the end of it because everybody else had talks with, you know, the first.
Yeah.
Ends up being. I got to ask a question. After Dawn served her purpose and everything with being the key, did anybody else fucking hate her? I could not stand...
For the most part, yeah.
I could not stand Dawn after Buffy came back
from the dead.
I kind of felt like she kept getting in the way.
Yeah, she kind of was annoying for
like
the most part. Yeah.
I'll talk a bit about Dawn here in a bit.
So. Okay. Okay.
So yeah, that was my number five. Liked that episode.
That is one of John's favorite ones. I was actually talking to him about this. Yeah, it was a good one. I enjoyed that. It's my number nine. Directed by Nick Merrick. So, Beth, your number five, please.
My number five is Dead Man's Party. It's where Buffy comes back after being in L.A. and they fight zombies. And how could that be wrong? I love when they fight zombies.
So that's a good episode.
Yeah.
It's funny, too, when the guy keeps answering the phone. He's like, is there a bunny here? Yeah man, she's not here.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole party scene's funny.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, I don't.
The friend, the book friend.
I remember
friend,
the one where she came back from L.A.
And they put the mask
on.
Yeah,
it's the one that she came back from L.A.
Yeah,
it's one right after that. They have a party and everybody's...
They're like barricading themselves in various places. It's the zombie. Yeah, okay.
The zombie episode.
I don't remember much about what happened in that
zombies.
One. Well, yeah.
Not a whole lot happened other than the fighting of the zombies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not really. But it's just a good zombie one, yeah.
We like zombies, too.
Okay. I love zombies. Zombies are fucking awesome.
They are, really.
So, cool. We're on to my number five?
Yes, we are.
All right. This is when my list is going to start fucking with everybody else's list. My number five is directed by Joss Whedon. Season 6, Episode 7, Once More with Feeling, otherwise known as the musical episode.
Yep.
Great episode.
That is a really fun episode.
It's my number seven.
It's my number two.
It's a really good episode. I'm going to do it anyway. I have a major problem with the show, though, and that is Willow. I hate the fact that she doesn't sing. Well, I know the story about Allison Hannigan not wanting...
Sure.
I know the story. Fuck that. She's a performer. And Rachel and I were watching an episode of How I Met Your Mother the other day. And basically her and her fiance, Marshall, were at a karaoke bar and they were butchering the song. And it was horrible and it was awkward. And it was perfect for what would have happened with Willow.
Sure.
Willow would be the one that couldn't sing. Willow would be the one singing the stupid shit. And she would be, you know, that one. That's my problem with it. That's my only problem with it.
And as I understand it, basically Allison Hannigan
said
and
she wouldn't
Michelle Trachtenberg both basically said, we're not good singers, we don't want to do it. Although Michelle Trachtenberg did a few little lines, but she's a dancer.
She sang a whole song.
It was a snippet, actually.
Yeah, well, it was a segment.
And, you know, I didn't think she was actually that bad.
No, she wasn't.
Willow?
No. Michelle Trachtenberg. I didn't think she was that bad of a singer.
No.
She didn't sound bad.
I thought she was not a very good singer.
See,
I don't know singers.
I really like that episode. Obviously, it's
really good
too. Mainly, I really dug it because it wasn't just a musical episode for the sake to have a musical episode. It was a let's work this in there,
and they did,
and actually have
it,
you know, everyone notice it and make it be a plot element.
Yeah,
okay. And the music in it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
you know?
I have the soundtrack.
Soundtrack.
Yeah, so do I.
I know all the words.
It's fun stuff.
What was I going to say now?
What I'm going to say about it is...
I actually have it so low on my list right now because I've watched it so many times that I'm kind of sick of it,
mm-hmm.
Which is really sad because it's hard to be sick of Buffy. but Yeah, no, the musical is it's great. The music is awesome. It's so much fun, and they've got actually really great performers in there. Yeah. I mean, Anthony Stewart Head, James Marsters, how do you say his
Marsters.
Name? Marsters. Yeah, Marsters, yeah. Great. They're both in bands, I believe.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah. We have their albums.
Some of the other characters can't sing, but damn, they do a pretty good job for what they give.
I can never remember her name. What's the chick's name that's...
Emma Caulfield?
She was fantastic.
I love her and Xander's little duo.
And mm-hmm. And
oh,
you
they
remember,
were so cute.
do you remember my theory about there's duo?
Mm-mm.
Because it's revealed that it was actually Xander that caused all this shit. And they actually... What is her name? I keep forgetting her fucking name.
Anya.
When Anya and Xander have their little duo, Xander's got on his nice plush pajamas and, you know, kicking ass and taking names. And I think he went out and intentionally bought those knowing he was going to have to do a song and dance number because that's the kind of douchebag that Xander is. But I love Xander. I think he's a great character, and I think this is a fantastic episode.
Sure.
But, you know, just that thing with Willow makes me dislike it because I would love to have seen...
No.
It doesn't make me dislike it, but it makes me like
it
less.
It doesn't bother me one bit.
It does me a lot because
it doesn't either. It doesn't bother me because she even has a line in there. I think that a line where she says, "I think this line's mostly filler."
See,
come on now.
And when we did our top six favorite musical moments in film, I believe I picked Cameron Diaz in My Best Friend's Wedding when she just slaughters the karaoke and she's just so awkward. And I would love to see that awkward, can't sing character on this show. And it just strikes me as something Joss Whedon is intelligent and competent enough to pull off.
Sure.
So Once More Feelings, my number five. It's a great episode. Check it out if you haven't seen it. What's your number four, Ethan?
My number four is actually Season 5, Episode 1, Buffy versus Dracula.
Ooh, I hate that one!
And the reason I like it is because it introduces the Dawn character. When Dawn first showed up, I really liked how they introduced her. They didn't build it up. They didn't do it. She was just there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching this episode going, did I fucking miss something? Is there an episode that's gone? What the hell's going on? And as a viewer, I was like, what the fuck? Because they didn't really address it. Until this one little bit, right when I would start going, what the fuck is going on with this? You know, there's this little scene with Dawn outside the magic shop where this crazy guy comes up to her and goes, "You're not supposed to be here," and goes off on her and he wanders off. And I sort of realized at that point, okay, this is a plot element that they're working on. And of course, as the season progresses, they reveal that what Dawn is and all that. And I thought that was a really clever. Fun way to introduce a character that otherwise like, oh, she's your long lost sister type of thing, you know, that they could have really, really done something stupid and cliched with it. But instead they did this and I thought it just really worked well. And Dawn as a character, I think after she served her purpose, I don't really think she should have been stuck around.
I think they should have killed her. I think that she should have chosen to die instead of Buffy.
Work for the beginning of season six.
They could have fixed it.
I don't know.
Well,
it was almost an ending because they switched networks and everything. So
yeah, I would have preferred to her like
Anne Michelle Trachtenberg's little "See You Next Tuesday." You should read her interviews sometimes. She is a stuck-up little bitch.
They should have sent her to boarding school in the show. There I go.
Once the gate is sealed and that god chick was killed, you know, she could have
ceased to exist,
become whatever energy or whatever she was ahead of time, and then you know they could have had the heartfelt all these goodbyes on top of the horrible things that went on and. I think that would have been entirely appropriate as a character, but she instead stuck around. But I really liked her introduction.
Yeah, it was a good one.
And it really stuck with me, and it really just made me interested because up until that point, season four was kind of okay. That you're watching, just going, all right, whatever. And then season five starts up with this, and it really just made me want to watch the rest of the season. Other than let's leave some of these episodes on for background noise, as this is prone to happen with TV shows. I was actually going, well, I'm interested to see what happens in the next episode because I want to know what the hell's up with this Dawn chick.
Yeah.
And so that's why it made it to my number four. The main plot line of the episode is crap. I mean, the whole Buffy and Dracula bit was I thought was stupid.
There's three things that I like about that episode. The Xander being Dracula's butt monkey. Giles making time
out
with the Dracky babes is what Riley says. And the ending where she stakes him and she's like, "I'm standing right here. You always come back." That corny line. So,
I don't like the I don't like what they did to Dracula. I don't like the fact that this stupid Buffy chick was able to just school his ass so easily. This is motherfucking Dracula.
See, and I'm glad that they did that because I didn't want the whole thing. Okay, Dracula's the bad guy and he's going to be... I thought that would have been kind
of
stupid.
Dracula should have either been the big bad of the entire fucking series or not in the show at all. And when I say the entire series, he like shows up and he's actually the first evil or whatever, and he's been pulling the string.
I think that's why they had him in there.
They should have had him at all.
Okay, ha ha ha, Buffy killed Dracula. Anyway, moving on. But yeah, no, like I said, I didn't even like the general plot of the episode. I just liked the introduction of the Dawn character.
And that was well done. And that was like the last, 30 seconds of the episode, or was that the...
No, it was in there from the beginning.
Yeah.
She goes over, like her mother says, don't forget to take Dawn. And she goes over, grabs her little sister and moves on. And I'm like, the fuck?
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, that's my number four.
Neat.
Let's see. My number four is Same Time, Same Place, Season 7, Episode 3. This is the one where Willa comes back from England after she's been studying to control her powers and everything, and they're supposed to meet at the airport, and they can't find each other, and then it turns out in the end that she made herself invisible by a spell accidentally, blah, 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 and it's got the Gnarl in it, who...
Gnarl. I like the Gnarl.
I'm going to get this wrong, but I think it's Camden Toy is the guy that plays it. And he also does a couple of other characters throughout the seasons, and I don't know, by far, he's probably my favorite villain, I mean, out of all of them, even the big bads. It's just because he's so, you know... creepy and kind of cool at the same time, and he like laps up the
and that's
blood
a vicious that's a real vicious episode.
Yeah
I remember watching just going, this is really vicious, and not in that, you know, oh, they can't see her, that's really mean. It's like, nah, he's like biting off chunks of people.
Yeah,
and
he strips off the chunks of them and eats them food,
like,
and laps
like,
up.
I'm gonna paralyze you and then strip off your skin. It's like, ow.
Yeah, it's kind of gross.
It really
sucks. But at the end, they all, you know, come back together, and Buffy helps use her energy to heal Willow and all this stuff. So it's sweet at the end, but it's just a really, really, like, plus you get the sense of Anya being the demon again. I think that's the first episode she
Anya's
reveals
probably
it
my third favorite
to
character
them
on the show. I love Anya.
I don't know. Yeah, that's my number four, Same Time, Same Place.
Groovy.
Cool. Really good one.
What's your number four, Bethany?
My favorite, or my number four is... Phases. It's the one where Oz discovers he's a werewolf.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I really dig that one, too.
Yeah.
And I'm a little biased because I dig werewolves, though.
So, I also loved Oz on the show.
Oz was awesome. Love Seth Green as Oz.
I like his God costume.
Yeah.
His God costume was awesome.
Yeah, his God. My name is God,
Yes, he was just a lot of fun. So
it wasn't nearly enough Oz on that show.
They needed more of him.
They did.
Yeah, well, he was only in season two.
Yeah, but, you know, Seth Green blew up after that point. So, I mean, he got really popular because of Austin Powers, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, he went off to do bigger, better things, and good for him.
We
you know
still could have used more Oz.
Absolutely.
Definitely could have used more Oz, especially the whole,
you
know,
he really broke out with that quiet stuff.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, that's a good episode.
It's a TV series he did on Fox that failed miserably.
Yeah. Oh, okay. well, clearly I've never heard of it, so
there's a reason it was bad.
Because it was so bad.
It's a bad show on Fox, imagine that.
What was it called?
Greg the Bunny.
I liked it.
Can we
back
can we
to Buffy?
I'm sorry.
It's on Netflix.
So I was gonna say, so yes,
he's a ginger.
I like that episode, the whole my cousin bit my finger, and then he calls up and he's like, did Jordy, you know? And I love that part.
Really
his cousin turned him into a werewolf by biting his finger.
I do love that. It
shows that his whole family is sardonic.
That part in that episode where he's talking to his aunt or whatever, it's like,
Did cousin Jordy happen to be a werewolf, by the way, or something like that?
So is, yes, and he just so nonchalantly, so is cousin Jordy a werewolf? Oh.
Okay.
How's that working for him?
Yeah.
And it's just the conversation goes, and I just love that little bit just, there. It's not the, it's real dark and serious of, I think I'm a werewolf. It's like, Well, all right then. Fuck. Yeah, I love, and that's part of what I loved about the series was that sort of, well, okay.
The Joss Whedonisms.
Oh, shit.
Joss Whedonisms. Yeah. Joss.
Can't fight it.
Joss.
I know, I always say Josh.
I was correcting
just
myself
out
as well.
Joss fucking Whedon.
Joss fucking Whedon. Yeah, I do. It's hard to say. Joss
Whedon. Okay, so Aaron, you're number four.
My number four. No, it's Beth.
No,
she already said it. It was Phases.
Yeah, it was Phases.
Silly goose.
Phases. Let's see. Season 6, episode 22, directed by James A. Conter. Grave. It was the season 6 finale. It was when Dark Willow got taken out. One of the reasons that I'm not a big fan of...
It's my number 8. It's really good.
Really good one.
I had to cut it from
See,
my
I
list.
Wasn't too blown away by it, because I guess Evil Willow got built up a lot, and then she's only in, like, 2 episodes, and I was like, but I guess she's kind
of
evil.
Did more of Evil Willow?
Yeah, I would have preferred to have been...
I just had
visions of her eating babies, or...
Yeah, it would have been bad.
The whole Willow and Giles fight... Sorry, Aaron, this is your...
Go ahead. But, well, no, no. What I was going to say is the reason I'm not really bowled over by Buffy the show is because I don't particularly like Buffy the character. I'm not a big fan of Deus Ex Machina, and Buffy is always there to save the day. She's always there to kill the big bad, and I liked it that it was Xander that took out the big bad this time around, and he didn't.
That
do it.
Was nice.
That's
with
what
my
I,
mouth.
With his my mouth. But yeah, and with his mouth, because he didn't use a bazooka or a stake or, you know, he just used his love for his friend, and it was heartwarming. It was nice. It was a good change of pace, and it shows that, you know, even if Sarah Michelle Gellar is the ego that we hear that she is, they didn't let her, you know, kill the bad guy in this one.
It was nice to see someone else do some good.
I will fully admit that I liked that aspect of it.
And that's why I liked it. That's why I liked it. That's why it's as high as it is. I think my second favorite character on the show is Xander, and it took me a long time to realize that. But I love Xander, and I love that moment of his. So it's a great episode. I get both of Ethan and Beth's points, and I don't know which one I agree with, because I would kind of like to see more Dark Willow, and I kind of don't, because she'd be eating babies if she was around a couple more episodes.
Yeah, I didn't
episodes,
want her to
but,
be dark for too long. Yeah. But the darkness was really...
It was cool that it happened.
Well, and I just felt they could have done some interesting things with it.
Yeah. It makes sense to me that she would do that, too.
That was a really good season, well, too. Really good season.
I think that's my favorite season.
I think I have the most
fun Yeah, that's a really good one. But yeah,
I'm hard-pressed to say which season is my favorite.
I know my least favorite is 1 and 7, without a doubt, but... so.
Okay, so we're on to
Ethan's number 3.
My number 3 is season 4, episode 10, Hush.
That's my number three. Is that your number 3?
No, my number 3 is something else, actually.
You're out of the
Is Hush
the
even
loop.
On your list?
Actually, it is not.
Okay. See, Hush to me was a fun one, just because it's the opposite of the whole of the musical episode, which this happened before that, but... For me, what the technical aspect of it was great, because, I mean, how hard is it to communicate without talking? And that episode was really good about it.
Yeah.
Yes. And
yeah. No, wasn't it?
Not to only mention that it was
this is an audio podcast, so we're doing hand signs.
And... how hard would it be to do this show if we couldn't talk? Oh wait, we couldn't.
Especially since we don't have cameras.
Yes.
So
and I know.
Yeah.
And the great thing about it, I thought, was how they had to figure out a way to fight these guys without communicating effectively with one another. And the villains in it were freaking scary as shit.
The gentleman ghosts?
Yes, the gentleman ghosts. They were
Wasn't that Doug Jones?
As hell.
Camden Toy.
What's that? It was Doug Jones and Camden Toy.
Mm-hmm. I believe so, yes.
I know it was.
And, it was a great little, great episode. Obviously, it's my number 3.
I didn't like Buffy's scream at the end.
It was really annoying, but yeah.
It felt really looped in there. But
yeah, and it was also the introduction, more or less, the introduction of Tara.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's true.
And Riley and Buffy figured out that, you know, they both kill vampires and demons and whatnot. But but for me, the episode really is just made up of the whole Hush business.
Yeah.
And I thought Hush was just a perfect way to deal with that episode and to call that episode, because that's what it was.
And then you have her, like, prophetic, or what do you want to call it, dreams in there, yeah. And then, yeah, I just love that episode. It's also my number 3. It's probably one of the episodes that I remember the most out of everything, and... Mm-hmm.
It's one of the more clever ones.
Yeah, and, I mean, there's just the whole scene where they're sitting in the classroom, or whatever you call it, the auditorium thing, and they're doing the slideshow, and Buffy's all like, I'm fat, you know, yeah. And then she's trying to make hand gestures, and they're misconstruing what she's trying to say. And mm-hmm.
Giles' slideshow. That was wonderful.
And then it's like the blood everywhere and the hearts, and yeah, I just love that episode. It's mm-hmm. just...
And, like I said, it's also my number 3, and we're getting a little bit out of order, but we'll just go back to Beth. But one of my things about it was the behind-the-scenes story, and it was, Joss J-O-S-S fucking Whedon, acting like typical Joss Whedon, and that, you know, he was getting all these rave reviews about the dialogue and shit, and he's all like, well, you know what, fuck that, I'm gonna do a show without any dialogue, and it's typical Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, you know, you're doing really good at this, like, okay, I'm gonna cut it off, and then see what happens. And, you know, it just shows that he's a really good filmmaker, and he is. I mean, he's, and I'm gonna get to that a little bit later, that, you know, he's an excellent director.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a really good show. I love The Gentleman Ghosts. And I like the Gnarl a lot. I got to go with Gentleman Ghosts as the best Buffy bad guy, including big bads and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely the most visually interesting.
Oh, yeah. I like how they floated around.
Yeah, and the fucking idiots in the
straitjackets.
That was creepy.
Straight out of Silent Hill.
Very creepy, I want to hire people to do that, you know, to just run around.
Follow you around.
In straitjackets.
In straitjackets.
Well,
okay.
And Ethan had said that it was the not introduction to Tara, but the bigger introduction to Tara, but it's also them two connecting.
Tangentially, and that was really the
whole thing with the pop machine.
The connecting and them using their powers together, and it was how this the first connection started to grow.
It was
really like a monumental moment for Buffy. Mm-hmm.
And behind the scenes, at that point, they did not know if they were going to make Xander or Willow the gay person. And when they filmed that scene and they saw how well that went down, that, you know, cemented it that they was going to make it be Willow that was the lesbian.
So much hotter that she was the lesbian instead of being gay.
Xander being gay would just be awkward.
I would rather
uncomfortable for everyone.
And Xander being a lesbian would have been fine.
Xander is a lesbian.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I don't know. I would have liked to see gay Xander, Matt, because I just thought that, you know, they.
I'm sure there's some fanfic about that.
I'm sure there is
some Xander Giles slash fic out there somewhere.
Three of our number threes is Hush.
So what's yours?
What's your number three, Beth?
Mine is Villains, where Willow becomes evil.
Is that the one in the alternate dimension?
That's my number seven.
No, this is the one where she, after Tara dies, and she consumed by her anger and hurt and everything. And
is that the one where Tara died or after she
dies? It's right after she dies.
I love the scene when she dies because it just helped. Yeah, I know that's before, but...
And sure Willow just gets so consumed by her anger and everything, and it... Uh-huh. It seems real.
And it's my number seven.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
And I really enjoyed the hell out of that one because throughout the entirety of that season, the villains, quote unquote, are a joke.
Well,
I mean, you're like, whatever. Yeah, they're a little annoying or a nuisance now and again. But then, you know, he shows up with a gun and it's suddenly very serious. Somebody dies and the whole tone of the season changes.
Well, the whole entire season's the big bad in that season's life. It's time.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's reality. It's the way I always viewed it.
Him shooting at them makes it more real, too.
That was just such a real and gritty moment.
Yeah.
It felt out of place, but it was awesome.
And we're sort of talking the very end of the episode before that. Is that shocking, just the fuck just happened. You're like,
your shirt, wait. Thump.
You as a viewer, I mean, I as a viewer was watching and went, well, wait, what the fuck just happened? What? Yeah. No, what?
Yeah.
And then it goes into the next episode, and, you know, all of this sort of develops, and I just love basically the build-up to that.
Yeah.
And the payoff was great in that episode, so.
Yeah, the whole, like, she starts out, like, you know, okay, oh my god, she's dead, and then she's, like, upset, and then she wants to call on forces to make her alive again, and then she gets mad.
And then
she goes
them back.
Well,
and
she goes and takes all the magic, and she's bad, but she's slowly building up to worse, and then she explodes at the end, kind of thing. And then it's really bad, Willow. And I just love how it's like the slow process transformation in that one episode from kind of bad to really bad.
Did she kill the dude at the end of that one
or
at the end of the next one?
She tortured and killed him.
That was fucked up. She just ripped his skin off.
Yeah.
That was just like, I was like, oh my god. I mean, that was just a really brutal
moment.
It was
really dark, but it was definitely
good
I think it was necessary for her character to go through that.
And if I had felt the need, you're right. If I felt the need to put this one on my list, I would have probably put the previous one because of that moment when Tara died. But, you know, you're right. This is actually the body and the meat of all of that happening. Mm-hmm. But, no, it's a good episode. It's a really good choice.
And at the same time, simultaneously, you've got Spike going off to, as he thinks, remove the chip from his head so that he can get back to Buffy. And then he ends up getting his soul back. So I like that whole, like, you know, alongside thing with Spike, whole story there. So,
So, you know, it was good, and it just really took you down to an uncomfortable place, and it was good. I liked it. So, Ethan, what's your number dose? Is that where we're at?
My number two was Once More with Feeling.
Okay, that's right.
So, we're to...
Rachel's number two.
Rachel, what's your number two?
My number two, and I'm really excited about this one, is Band Candy Season 3, Episode 6.
That's my number 10. That's my favorite stupid Buffy episode.
That episode is, like, just... so great for Anthony Stewart Head, Giles.
That's when they reverted to kids.
When they ate the candy for the school band, right. And they reverted to kids. The whole town's going crazy, and they're like, what the hell's going on?
And he makes out with Buffy's mom.
No, he has sex with Buffy's mom on the cop car twice. Yeah.
Giles is my favorite character.
He's my favorite character as well.
I was so sad when he was not a regular cast member after season 5. Yeah. But
it just shows the badassness of the Ripper. Badassitude of Ripper. And, you know, it's just like Giles is so stuffed and there's just not.
Back to my number 6, Halloween, is you got that first glimpse of Ripper there when he punched Ethan in the stomach.
Yeah. And then
shit, Giles, what the fuck, man? And that one you get the, oh. That's why they call it, you know, it kind of filters through,
but then that episode just really comes out because you see the Giles from when he was a teenager, when he was a badass, and he's got, you know, you get the whole 50s look with the rolled up cigarette pack and his white t-shirt and stuff, and then he was a greaser, it's great. But then at the end he's like, you know, come on, let's kick some ass, that kind of thing. So it's like the two Giles in one, but
How bummed out are you that the BBC series Ripper never happened?
Oh, God, I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah, Stephen Moffat was going to run it.
I know.
I was just like, what the fuck? Come on.
That would have been so cool.
That would have been the greatest
thing ever. But Anthony Stewart did show up on Doctor Who for an episode.
Yes, he did.
So, yeah, and then the you know, Joyce being all silly and girly and all that stuff. And, oh, my God, I got the mom car, that whole scene. Uh-huh. I just love that episode. It's always great seeing your parents act like idiot teens. Uh-huh. So, I mean, it's a good episode.
All right. Well, Beth, what's your number 2?
Normal again. Buffy gets bitten by demon's venom.
My number 10.
And she hallucinates that she's a normal girl.
That's a good one.
She's in a sanitarium.
And she's in an insane asylum. Yeah.
That was a good one.
And she's just so...
And it's a good episode because it even starts to convince you as a viewer.
You're like, wait, it is
Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yeah.
Hold on a second. What's going on
here? She could really be crazy. But the whole time you're thinking, you know, it's Buffy. She's going to be a Vampire Slayer, of course. She really could be crazy.
Fucking the whole time. Yeah. Whoa!
Fuck you, Joss Whedon.
Yeah. There's people that still think that's what's happening. There's people that really think.
It's just great. Yeah. It's, good. Yeah, it's on my number
really
10. So
it's good writing. I didn't think about
it
that
one. It was really good.
It's a good one. Cool.
What's yours?
My number what?
Your number 2.
I almost want to call my number 2 a tie with my number 1, but I'm not going to because that's a cop out and I don't do that anymore. But I love number 2. I almost like my number 2 better than my number 1. But my number 2 was directed by Joss Whedon, season 5, episode 16, It's the Body. It's when Joyce dies. That was a fantastically, wonderfully, beautifully made episode of the show.
It's my number 1,
It's my number 1 also.
Isn't that a great episode?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not my number one. It's a fantastic episode. I like how the episode before ends with her finding the body.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then the next episode picks up right there.
Yep.
Whereas most series, it would be her standing out when the paramedics would be taking the body away and they'd be dealing with it. But instead, they deal with the body. And, I mean, the body is just the overall, central point of the episode. And
it's a great story, and, you know, it's fantastic. It was, you know, all that good stuff. I think the thing that makes me absolutely love that is how effectively they conveyed the idea that Joyce was gone, that Joyce was dead. You felt her loss because of the fact there was no music in the episode.
Yeah.
And I find that episode chilling. I don't like I don't like watching it, but it might be the single best episode of any television show I've ever seen in my life.
And the lack of, I mean, you can point at it and say, you know, people, music is such a great portion of any movie, TV series, whatever. Mm-hmm. And this is a good one to example. It's like, this is what it's like without it. And it's such a cold, empty feeling.
Yeah.
And that was a brilliant way to show, this loss. Because, I mean, you'd had that character since the beginning of the series. And it was like, you know, wait a minute. They just killed her off. But she just got better. And
it wasn't a vampire. You know? It wasn't
just
a demon.
Yeah.
It was a brain aneurysm.
I mean, it was... Buffy couldn't have done anything to stop it.
Nobody could have. I liked the way people found out about it. I mean, I especially liked it with Giles walking in. What's going on? Oh my God, Joyce! And you run over and you can
hear.
You're not supposed to touch the body, and then Buffy freaking out by calling her the body. And this is her mom. Mm-hmm. This is her mother. You know, and she called her the body.
It's a strong episode. Just even for Sarah Michelle Gellar, it's like
it is.
Damn, you know. And you're not. She's not fighting any monsters in it. Well, technically she is at the very end.
Yeah.
But, even then, you just sort of don't care. You're like, yeah. There's
I don't
a vampire
really like
the
last
room.
5 minutes of the show.
But it's like
that's supposed to be in there though. And I've read the behind the scenes about this also. And Joss Whedon thought it was horrible, and he put it in there because he wanted to show that just because you're sad and because you've lost something, it doesn't stop life.
Yeah.
And she's still the Slayer even though her mom just died, and it sucked. And with Willow trying to figure out what to wear when Buffy was coming over,
God.
That's just heart-wrenching. And same thing with Xander.
My favorite part is Anya's when she's like,
she can't figure it out.
Yeah, how am I supposed to react to this? And then she's like, one day she was drinking, I was drinking juice, and then I realized Joyce will never drink juice again. And it's just her whole realization of, oh my God, this is what it feels like to lose something.
Sort of learning to be human.
Yeah.
Learning to be human again. It's a fantastic episode.
The other thing that I like about it is when they do the flashes of her mom getting better, and they go real fast through it, and then they pan back to her staring at the body or whatever, and it's just like that's impacting it even more.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of chills you. It freaks you out a little bit. You're like, oh, God, there she is. Oh, crap, she's dead again.
Oh, wait, no.
When Whedon won Ruthoz, I wasn't particularly thrilled about it because I hadn't seen a whole lot about it. I wasn't particularly thrilled about him directing The Avengers when I saw this. I was so put at ease at it because he is such a competent director.
He's a very good director.
He's a very competent director. Mm-hmm. I mean, Hush, I mean, people like to chalk it up to his dialogue. No, I mean, he's really good at the camera. Mm-hmm. Are you crying?
No, I didn't see Nikki coming. Yeah, I was like, okay. When did she get here?
But no, it's a fantastic episode. It's my number two. I would be comfortable putting it my number one, but there is one that I like better. Well, I mean, that I want to talk about also, but I love it. It's a great episode. What do you want to talk about now? What's your number two, Beth?
You already did your number two.
I already did my number
two. You're doing your number one now.
Yeah, it's number one now.
So Ethan and I's number one is the same as Aaron's number two, The Body.
Yep.
So now it's your number one.
My number one is Once More with Feeling.
I
love the music.
And I do too.
I just, because of my little sister, it's really because of her, because I just love watching her run around the living room singing it. When she was like 5 or 6, and now she's like 13 and singing in shows at her school, and I think that's connected. So that's my reasons. So.
Yeah, and I've been over it with that episode. I mean, and you know that I'm not a huge musicals fan,
and I am. I think I would like it more.
And you sing it to me in the car, so there's a couple reasons.
Well, it's a great, it's fun. It's fun. It's nerdy. When I think musicals, I think Singing in the Rain, and I wasn't a huge fan of the 50s era ones, but but that one is just that was just a lot of fun. It shows the great talent of the show and the talent of the writers, the direct. Joss Whedon is a director, and it the great editing, great. It's hard to put on a musical, and especially on the rapid fire TV schedule. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have like 2 weeks to get ready for an episode, and I'm like, can you imagine that? Here's a script. Exactly. You need to learn these songs in 2 weeks, and we go.
Yeah. It's hard work. So
it is. It's incredibly hard.
I have a great
amount
of appreciation for that.
And they all did a great job, all the music is great. And I really liked how they.
From what I understand, Joss Whedon and his and the cast wrote the music and stuff at his house or something.
Joss Whedon did.
They get together for script readings on Sunday, and one day they just started to have jam sessions now and again, and James Marsden would bring a guitar and they jam a bit, and until finally they're like, well, we should just do a musical episode. And and Joss Whedon went,
no, we're going to do a fucking
musical. Yeah, we're doing a fucking musical episode, bitches.
Yeah.
And here you have it. And I just, again, I really liked how it wasn't just a musical episode for the sake of a musical episode. Yeah. It was,
it worked.
There's this musical bit, and then later on, that next morning, Buffy's like, did anyone else break in a song last night?
Yeah.
And they made it part of the show. And the demon in it gets away. He doesn't die. He basically decides that you're looking at the meat of the show. It's actually a lot happens in that episode as everyone finds out that Buffy wasn't in some hell dimension. She was in heaven. And her friends pulled her out of that. And how much does that suck? And that's the episode where they find out. And the demons are sort of like, well, that's enough for me, really. I love this misery, so I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
And
peace, I'm out.
It's like, normally I'd have to take one of you, the person, take her for summoning me, but shit, this is too funny.
Well, you would have to have taken Xander, because he summoned him.
No, Xander didn't summon her.
It wasn't Xander.
It was Xander. It was Xander. That's why.
And he's like, the whole, do I have to be your queen? And he's like, I think we can waive that clause once.
It was Xander, but that was my whole point for why he bought the pajamas.
Oh,
because he knew that he was going to be in a musical number, so he bought specific pajamas.
Have to watch the episode again.
Specific musical number pajamas.
If anybody on that show would do that, it'd be Xander.
That's true.
Then that's what I'm saying. But
okay.
I would be fine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was Xander that did it.
And I like how in that episode, when they're going at the very beginning, going over theories, Giles nails
it.
It's like, I think it's a demon, a dancing demon. Yeah, no, there's something not right.
And they
there.
Sort of gloss over it, but I'm like, Giles was right.
Giles is always right.
I love Giles.
You know that it's funny?
And, yeah, and
maybe witches.
Yes.
Some evil witches.
Yeah, and
great episode.
I gotta throw it out there again. Emma Caulfield was wonderful in that episode. I love it when she sings, when she has her little rock ballad moment about the bunny song.
Yes.
That's just, or, you know,
and really there isn't a musical number in the episode I don't like.
Yeah, I mean.
There are ones I like more than others. Like, I really like Spike's bit is great.
Yeah,
you know?
I can listen to that over and over and over. I love the mustard song. You know?
I
like the little Marty Noxon thing that's stuck in there. I'm not wearing underwear.
Wearing underwear.
Yeah, I like the little extras in that movie.
Sure,
and then the demon suite, he's just like, I could watch that part like 20 million times over again. Yeah. If I ever find a demon hot, that would be the demon to find hot. The whole music. He's got a gorgeous voice and like,
I like that he dances.
I like his, I like his red suit better than his blue suit.
I like the blue suit better, I have to say. I love the tap dancing.
You
guys
can have him wear both.
It's a great episode.
And really, it was the precursor to Dr. Horrible. You know, I mean,
you gotta fucking love Dr.
And
Horrible.
I fucking love Dr. Horrible. So.
Yeah, they should have figured out a way.
I'm sorry to steal away from your number one there.
I'm sorry to throw it out there at my number five.
Really, yeah, you suck. Jeez.
Well, I mean, that's what I said. I was going to be fucking
You guys would be talking most of the time anyway, so I just let that happen.
Yeah.
Well, it is our show. You know, we like to step all over our guests.
We do it often. We do it often.
With your big, giant feet.
Mm-hmm. Our big, giant feet. So we're down to my number one now, huh?
Yep.
Anybody have any guesses?
Is it with that one that you were thinking of earlier that you couldn't
not
find?
My number
one. Figure out what that was?
No.
Okay.
No.
I have no idea then.
Is it
Zeppo.
The smashed one?
Oh.
I fucking love the Zeppo.
Yeah.
Zeppo is my favorite episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I was kind of wondering because I almost put that on my list.
It's the Xander episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one when they had all this crap going on with the end of the world and a big demon and everything.
Big
apocalypse, and they send Xander away because they don't want him to get hurt and he has his own little adventure. And
he ends up having sex with Faith.
Faith, he's dealing with the undead bullies, it's a wonderful episode because it once again it takes away from the Deus Ex Machina of Buffy, and it shows the strength of the supporting cast. But at this point, you got Willow, who's a badass, wizard, and you got the Slayer, and you got the Watcher, and so he's got all of his knowledge, and he's got his age, who's got that going for him, and you got. And you've got all these characters that are like just have some next level shit going on. You got poor old Xander that's just a stooge, and you know he really comes into his own. And
I find it amusing that Faith pops his cherry.
It's also
Jack O'Toole. That's the
it's also
leader
perfect.
Of the dead
it's also perfect. I mean, it's just
someone had to do it.
It's my favorite one of the shows.
I absolutely love watching the look on his face when he's waiting for the bomb to count down and he's doing the chicken thing with the Jack O'Toole character, and he's just got this like. Corny half smile on his face, just like at the same time, you know, he's like, oh my god, I'm gonna die. But he's just got that look on. I don't know why, it's just a classic Xander look, and I absolutely love that part.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a really good episode.
I love the whole episode. I've probably watched it 5 or 6 times. It's
really?
Just, yeah, I mean, I've watched it without
you
knowing.
You sneakily watch Buffy when you're not here.
No, I sneakily watch the Zeppo sometimes.
Just
but,
that one?
Yeah, I just really like that one.
And that's a great title,
that's
too.
That's his go to movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's my go to. Yeah.
And it's a great title, too. It's a really subtle title not a lot of people get.
Yeah. But they flat out say it in the episode.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They do.
So
yeah.
It's my favorite, great. Without a doubt. I think that it's just it warms my heart, and it's a good show, and I enjoy watching it a lot. Mm-hmm. The Body is a better episode, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's better constructed and everything.
But this one's your favorite.
This is my favorite.
Sure.
You know, this one touches my heart. That other one, you know, makes me sick, but I admire it. But, you know, that's why I picked it for my number one. So why don't we run down our top 10 and get this over with, guys?
Alrighty. Well, my number 10 is Season 5, Episode 3, The Replacement.
Which one's that?
It's the one where Xander gets a twin.
It's a good Xander
right.
And
right.
It is his real twin.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9 was Doppelgangland.
Uh-huh.
8 was Passion.
Which one was that?
Season 2, episode 17. Mm-hmm. It's where
Jenny.
It's where evil Angel kills Miss Calendar.
And the whole lead up with the flowers. I like that
one. Yes. Number 7 was Villains. With the the aftermath, the death of Tara. Number 6 was Halloween. Number 7 was Innocence. Number 4 is Buffy versus Dracula. Number 3 was Hush. Number 2 was Once More with Feeling, and number 1 was The Body.
Awesome. My number 10 is Normal Again. Number 9 is Tabula Rasa. Number 8, and this wasn't on anybody's list, and I absolutely love this episode. It's Checkpoint from Season 5, Episode 12. It's the one where the Watchers Council comes to give them information about Glory, but they can only get it if they deem her worthy, and in the end she ends up showing them up. And
in the end she's like, bitches, I am the Slayer, you serve me, give me the fucking information I don't work for you anymore.
Yeah, and she gets Giles' job back, retroactively paid from the day he was fired, and she I just love that whole, fuck you, this is my deal, I'm the Slayer, without you, what are you guys?
And their reaction was like, okay.
Yeah, okay. that I have to get on there.
Sorry, Miss Thyrum.
So that was number 8. Number 7 is Once More with Feeling. Number 6 is Doppelganglin. Number 5 is Conversations with Dead People. 4, Same Time, Same Place. 3, Hush. 2, Band Candy. And 1, The Body.
Excellent.
Okay, my number 10 was The Body. My number 9 was Smashed. It's the one where Buffy and Spike finally...
I love that episode, but I didn't put it on there.
They do it.
I've watched that episode a lot.
My number 8 is Grave. My number 7 is Chosen. My number 6 is Never Leave Me. 5 is Dead Man's Party. 4 is Phases. 3 is Villains. 2 is Normal Again. And 1 is Once More with Feeling.
Excellent. Okay. My number 10 is Band Candy. My number 9 is Conversations with Dead People. I got a bone to pick with everybody. How come Restless, my number 8, hasn't brought up by anybody?
You know, that was almost on my list, and I was actually Facebooking somebody about Restless? That one. It's the end to Season 4. After they fight the big bad and kill Adam, they all go home to rest, and then they have a dream. One. They all had the same dream with the first Slayer coming in and killing them, but the Cheese Man's also
Cheese
in
Man.
There. It's just fucking hilarious. You're like, what the hell is a cheese guy doing in there?
Weird show.
Like, at least you guys didn't dream about the cheese guy. What the hell was that about? And then everybody looks at her like, yeah, we did.
You don't remember that one?
I remember the. I don't remember. And the it's cheese got the whole
Snyder's in it, and he's dead, and
they're making fun of the apocalypse.
That's a really good one.
I remember that episode, and
it's
was good.
It's a good technical episode,
sure.
And it's got the whole Willow and her fear of being on stage and getting her line thing, and that's played up in the show a couple times.
Kind of works for Once More with Feeling too. If she has a fear of being on stage, she probably wouldn't sing.
But there's a spell. But whatever. There's a spell. And then my number 7 is The Gift. Does anybody else remember The Gift?
Yeah.
The Gift was the...
The end of Season 5.
The end of Season 5. I picked that one because that is my favorite Giles moment. That's when he strangles...
Ben.
Who was harboring Harmony.
Glory.
Who the hell's Harmony?
The blonde chick.
Yeah. But he was harboring her, and he killed him so that she couldn't do that again, and it really pissed off Buffy and blah 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 blah. And I think that's a difference of Giles the adult and Buffy the child, and reasons why I love Giles so much.
The thing he says is that Buffy could never harm a living person, but even though she knows she could come back and kick her ass eventually, she's like, so basically it's I have to do the hard stuff that Buffy can't do because
Buffy won't do it. She's ideal. She's an idealistic stupid kid.
Well,
and that's the way I see it.
From your point of view.
From my point of view. And I think it's probably from Giles' point of view. He just doesn't say it as bluntly as I do.
Yeah.
She won't hurt because she has to kill demons and monsters and shit. She can't bring herself to hurt humans, and I think it's cause and effect. So, but I think it's a wonderful Giles moment.
And I like the whole Spike and the what's his name? That guy. Standing on the thing, and he just shoves him off. Yep. And then my favorite part of that episode is when Spike.
Yeah,
is,
that was Joel Grey.
Yeah, Joel Grey.
Mm-hmm.
Spike is crawling at the end after Buffy dies, and he's like crying, and it's just you see this really vulnerable. He really did love her, kind of thing, and I like that moment.
I do too. I like that episode. Mm-hmm. But my number 6 is Tabula Rasa. My number 5, Once More Feeling. My number 4 is Grave. My number 3 is Hush. My number 2 is The Body, and my number 1 is The Zeppo. Hush. Well, I guess that is our top six Woo-hoo! Buffy the Vampire Slayer episodes.
So excited.
So stay tuned. We're going to be right back with our outro section. Section. We just did our discussion of the series Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Very much enjoyed by all these people at the table. I think it was a good discussion. It was a little bit loud, but you know, that's what happens. I'm always loud. I didn't say but I know we're not doing a show.
And we, of course, dominated the conversation like we're prone to do.
But we're like, you know, professionals. Or,
yes, we're professional podcasters.
I watch movies with you and you dominate the movie.
I do. I give her a running commentary as we're watching a movie.
Even if you haven't seen it before?
Yes.
Awesome. That's how I do it. That's how I roll. I mean, depending on how good or bad
the movie is. She says she doesn't mind. I'm sure she hates every second of it.
Actually, I kind
of
like it.
I actually openly mock movies, like, if they're really bad, even if I've never seen them. I'm like, oh, fucking come on!
I took the total wind out of the sails of Scream 5.
Yeah,
or Scream 4, whichever the fuck it was.
Scream something.
I usually wanted to, like, jump at, like, horror movies, and he decided that he was going to
And
make
as
jokes
we were watching,
the whole
I was just
time.
Like going, oh, come on. For fuck's sake.
Yeah.
You're the same fucking people going through this the fourth fucking time. Why do you not all have handguns?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for Nev Campbell to pull out the 44 Magnum and blow the dude away. Movie over in 20 minutes, done, moving on.
That would be brave. I'd like to see that movie. I'd love
but
to
yes,
see that movie.
I kind of deflated that for
you. No, it was good because then I didn't have nightmares, so it's fine.
Cool. Next week we are at Gen Con. Well, you're at Gen Con.
Next week Beth and I are at Gen Con.
So we're not doing a show. Week after that we're probably doing a show, but we don't know with whom.
Yeah, no, I haven't gotten confirmation back yet. So
We're hoping to do our heist movies at
that
point.
Yes, that we had to offset because my brother-in-law's had to cancel. But
yep.
I hope to get him back for that. If not, we'll have
somebody.
We'll get somebody on, and we will have back to our regular scheduled.
Thank God, talking about movies instead of TV shows for a change, but
yes.
Yeah, I hope
and also that episode that'll be 60, so we will
we have to do Ruth Oz.
We'll announce the winners of Ruth Oz.
Maybe we ought to just do Ruth Oz.
Maybe I don't know.
Why don't we just do Ruth Oz?
We can do that.
We'll talk to the Bag to Board guys. We'll figure it out. We'll get a post on Facebook before then. But yeah, that's been our Buffy episode. It looks like Rachel's done with it.
Yes,
so.
Rachel has given up and is away.
She's hot.
She started setting things on fire and is smashing pictures of Aaron and saying, fuck you, I hate the show, and I hate you. And now she's left. So
cool. Got anything else to add?
No, I think that is about it. This Gen Con is Beth's first Gen Con, so hopefully she won't stay in the be staying in the hotel and writing fan fiction all the time.
That's my favorite. I love it.
You can write me up the gay Xander
fan fiction.
Can
I write the gay Xander?
If you write fan fiction, can it be Red Phone Zone fan fiction?
That'd be cool. Gay Red Phone Zone.
Ethan Aaron / fanfic. Yeah,
no,
that's
I don't
kind
want,
of
no,
awkward
I,
and wrong.
It's gonna be I awkward, and there's gonna be lots of Jello.
I don't want to see that even a little bit. Wow. On that note, I'm Aaron.
I am Ethan.
Let your geek flag fly.